serving up the champagne. Pop. It's my house, come on, turn it up.
Hear a knock on the door and the night begins. Cause we've done this before, so you come on in. Make yourself at my home, tell me where you been. Pour yourself something cold, baby, cheers to this.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR. Now here are your hosts, Nathan Zagura and Matt Wilhelm.
Hello there! One day away, Matt Wilhelm. One day away from the 2016 NFL Draft. With that in mind, we've got you loaded up here. Is it a big show today, Gibbs? Is it a loaded show?
I think it would be a loaded show. Just a little hunch.
A loaded show. You know what we got? This is what we got going on today. Matt Miller will join us right off the bat. Matt Miller, of course, from Bleacher Report. You can follow him on Twitter at NFL Draft Scout. And then in the second 2 o'clock hour, we're going to have John Clayton from ESPN. But one thing we got to keep up with here, or kick off with, I should say, a little bit of, I kind of call it maybe breaking news. I don't know what you guys think, but Sashi Brown talking with Josina Anderson on ESPN saying he does not feel the urge to draft a quarterback. He is looking forward to the competition with the guys they've got here.
Yeah, sure. You can call it breaking.
What?
Yeah. You don't
and
like
also,
that? What,
I
is,
had
that?
A,
what is that? Well, hold on. What did that mean? How do we interpret your sound?
I
right
don't
there?
Know. I think you still got to go get a quarterback at some point.
Sure.
Yeah, I think
okay,
you take
we got
a shot.
Picks.
Yeah.
I, overnight and this morning, took my work home and shook up my 32.
Really?
My round 132, and it involves the Cleveland Browns.
Wow. Here, by the way, is the quote. So does that mean are you getting into my moves? It's too late. The Browns have picked in your mock.
That does...
Oh, wow. We're
going to
go back
going
in time.
Are we going 132?
Not today.
Okay.
Well, we are going 132, but we're already through 16.
It's okay.
Okay. All right. This is what he said, and I quote, "I look forward to the current competition. I don't feel a huge urge to get another young QB," end quote. Sashi also telling her the team can still, quote, "get a very good guy at 8, but team still interested in 2 to 3 players around their slot."
There it is.
So there it is. Again, I think the Browns are either going to, watch this. You ready for one where I'm going to cover all the bases? They're either going to stay at 8 and pick somebody, or they're going to trade out. I'm leaning more to trade out, but it's all going to depend on how things go. I've talked to a lot of people around the National Football League, and the sense I get of it is the top 7, there are 2 wild cards that could jump in, but the top 7, as I continually hear it, include the following 7 players: Goff, Wentz, Ramsey, Bosa, Buckner, Tunsil, Stanley. Miles
Which
Jack
leaves out
is
who?
The wild card. Miles Jack and Ezekiel Elliott.
Correct.
So there's a potential that both are on the board for the Cleveland Browns. As long as the 2 tackles go in the top 7, I'll be happy. Because that will leave us with 2 good options or a good trade-out option.
Got it. I believe it. I've seen the same.
Okay.
I've also seen Miles Jack go in that 5.
5 to Jacksonville.
5 to Jacksonville and leaves Ezekiel Elliott falling right into our lap at 8.
I think there's a better than 50% chance. I talked to somebody who says they're pretty close to the Dallas situation and that Dallas wants Ramsey or Bosa.
Okay.
And especially when you think about the fact that Marcus Lawrence is suspended, Greg Hardy is suspended. They need a guy that can come in and play on the front of that defense.
Yes, they do.
So that is something certainly to keep an eye on. Are we ready for Matt Miller yet there, Gibbs?
Oh, all right.
That's fantastic. All right. Well, anyway, we're just a day away. Rumors last night coming out that the Browns were going to trade down and that the target was Connor Cook. We've heard the trade-down target be Laquan Treadwell. We've heard the trade-down target be Paxton Lynch. Now Sashi saying what he did today about quarterbacks. So a lot of smoke out there, obviously, going as we get here right up to the final moments. I think that there certainly is a lot of smoke.
And how much of the smoke that's out there, knowing that the Cleveland Browns have moved once, makes them an easy part of a conversation to move again?
Yeah, and knowing just that they have the proclivity to do that. Again, I think once the Browns trade down, it was saying we're not taking a quarterback until the mid to later rounds. That's really what I believe. Jared Goff was our guy. He's not there. We're moving on. So let's go to the Ohio Business Machine hotline, though, and talk to a guy who was very plugged in around the National Football League from Bleacher Report, Matt Miller. Matt, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Appreciate it.
Of course, always great to have you on. You can follow him at Twitter, at NFL Draft Scout. He's released his top 400 players, his final big board. In a mock draft, I was following you on Twitter last night. It sounded like you tore up about 38 of them before you finally got done last night with the mock draft. But let's talk about it. Let's talk about the top eight picks. How do you see, or let's talk the top seven before we get to Cleveland. How do you see those unfolding?
Yeah, you're right. I tore up a lot of mock drafts last night because every time I got one, I felt like it was good. Someone would call me and tell me something new. So the way I see it right now, I mean, obviously quarterback at the top, Jared Goff, Carson Wentz. San Diego is a little bit of a wild card. Right now, I have them taking Ronnie Stanley and feel pretty good about that pick. But it could definitely still be – it could still be Laremy Tunsil. It could still be Jalen Ramsey. I don't think Ramsey gets past Dallas if he's on the board.
Right.
I think Bosa to Jacksonville makes a lot of sense. And then Tunsil to Baltimore, DeForest Buckner to San Francisco. I think there's some interchanging parts there. If San Diego goes Tunsil, I think Baltimore could go Ronnie Stanley or DeForest Buckner. And the Niners are – sitting right there at seven, they're just going to take the best guy left, on whether it's Stanley, Tunsil, or Buckner.
When you look at it, and let's talk just about this top seven. So what has Laremy Tunsil done wrong since being regarded as the absolute best player in this draft and the surefire number one should Tennessee have stayed there, to now a guy that could feasibly fall to six, maybe seven, who knows, when he is a guy that – you know, at many times people said was the guy.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is it's all the things you hear away from the field. On the field, I mean, he's a pretty clean prospect. I would say the only concern is that he's not real pro ready coming out of that Ole Miss offense. And you kind of hear some of the same things that he doesn't have the best football IQ. You know, there were some things that happened off the field. I mean, he was suspended to start the year. He was mentioned by Robert Kim DJ as being in the hotel room when the infamous fall out of the window happened. So there are enough things off the field that could be a concern, especially when you're talking about a top three or four pick. So Ronnie Stanley, pretty comparable as players, and they're pretty – you look at football IQ, you look at the cleanness off the field, Stanley's a little bit easier to say, okay, we know what we're getting here.
Matt, why have the rumors, you know, being linked to now possibly three tackles going inside the top 10. Why are we hearing that now so close to the draft when it seemed like there were, including the quarterbacks, maybe seven can't-miss elite players, and now those tackles are overtaking some of them and dropping those other guys down the board?
I think a lot of it is need. Just teams are panicking a little bit. I personally don't see any way three tackles should go in the top 10. The position players in this draft are so good that I don't know why you would draft a tackle after Tunsil, after Stanley. You know, like Jack Conklin's getting a lot of love. I don't personally understand that. I think he's probably, you know, closer to a late first-round pick. I like Taylor Decker quite a bit more than Jack Conklin, actually. So, and as far as top 20, yeah, we're probably going to see four tackles go. I don't buy right now that we're going to see three guys go in the top 10. I know a lot of folks say the Browns are going to draft Jack Conklin at eight.
Please
to me,
tell
that
me
just
you've
feels
heard
like a
something
little bit
new.
Too much of a smokescreen.
Yes, please tell me. Yesterday, I went through the list of people. I would add your name to the list since you're with us. I would rather draft you, Matt Miller, than draft an offensive lineman in the first round for this Cleveland Browns team.
I have a hard time seeing this regime draft an offensive tackle that early. You have the best offensive tackle in the NFL in Joe Thomas. He's a first-ballot Hall of Famer. Hasn't really helped you win a whole lot of games. So I think they have to go to a different position. You can get value at right tackle in the second round. You look at the teams that have drafted offensive tackles, the top 10 the past several years, not many hits there. It's a dangerous position because it's not an easy transition anymore. It used to be safe, not with spread offenses. Even though Conklin plays in a quote-unquote pro-style offense, whether it's him or Decker, there's going to be an acclimation. So if I'm sitting there at eight, I would take Miles Jack. As long as the knee checks out, if you know you're going to get him for 5 years, you might just get a Bobby Wagner or a Luke Kuechly-type linebacker for the next 4 or 5 years. That's all his rookie contract covers. So I think that if he's on the board, he should be the pick.
I read something that was a good point, that many of these GMs aren't thinking about being around in 5 years. So They're more worried about their own longevity than the longevity of Miles. Jack, what's the latest you're hearing on his knee, and how likely do you believe it is that he will go in the top eight?
You know, it's tough because, you know, in my job, you try to cast as many nets as you can and get as much information as possible. I've talked to some teams who say he's moved off of our main draft board. We, like, red flagged him for injury, so we're going to pass on him, even though we thought he was one of the best players in the draft. There are other teams that say it's not that big of a deal. Like, the cartilage is there. He's going to be able to play week one this season. And like you just said, these GMs think about 4 and 5 years. They're not thinking about, is this guy going to start for 10 years? Because they might not be there. And there's no guarantee you can keep a guy in free agency anymore. So with Miles Jack, I think you have to look short-term, not long-term. For that reason, I still think he's a top 10 pick, whether it's Jacksonville, Cleveland, the New York Giants at 10. He's just too good of a player to fall that far.
Matt, you talked about the general managers. Those are the decision makers. Who are some of the teams that you believe could potentially pull the trigger, who aren't happy where they sit right now and have to get aggressive, whether it's to move up to get Paxton Lynch, to maybe move up and get a wide receiver later in the draft? Who are those teams that you think are going to be moving come Thursday evening?
Well, I think the Saints are a mover. They might try to go up, they might try to go down, but I think they will be a mover because they've tried in years past. They tried to get Marcus Mariota last year. They tried to come up this year to get Jared Goff. I wouldn't be surprised if Sean Payton likes Paxton Lynch. I would not be surprised if they try to get to eight to make sure that they get their guy. I wouldn't be surprised to see a team like the New York Jets maybe try to get more picks. Right now they only have six, and even though they were close to a playoff team last year, that's a roster with a lot of holes on it. So I wouldn't be shocked if they're in a position to move back, let one of those wide receiver needy teams like Houston or Minnesota or Cincinnati come up in the draft and secure their guy. I do think there's going to be a lot of activity, though. Last year was light on first-round trades. I feel like this year will be a little bit better, but those would be the teams. And in Tennessee, with all the draft capital they have, you know, they have, what, four picks in the top 45. It just seems like that they will be kind of sitting there lurking, waiting to see if someone falls down the board. And if so, they definitely have the capital to make something happen.
Matt, another one of those elite guys is Ezekiel Elliott, but he could go to Dallas at 3. He could potentially, you know, fall into the Cleveland Browns' lap at 8. If he doesn't get drafted, we'll say in the top 8, where could you see in the next series of teams, Tampa, New York, the Giants, Bears, Saints, Dolphins, would be a lock to grab Ezekiel Elliott?
Yeah, locks for him. I think Chicago would love for him to fall to 11, Miami at 13, Oakland at 14. I can't see him getting past Oakland.
Right.
If he somehow, some way falls there. And, man, talk about a nice young nucleus to build around. If you have Derek Carr, Amari Cooper, and Ezekiel Elliott, that's a pretty dang good offense. So, again, kind of like with Miles Jack, it's like at the end of the day, just good football players really don't fall down the board unless they have some big concern about, you know, off-field or a Jalen Smith-type injury. So I have to feel pretty good that he's going to be a top 14 pick.
When you look at the Browns' position, do you feel if they moved, let's say, from 8 to 13, where would you think they would be looking there? Is that where they jump on the wide receiver? And do you think that that is a good place to go ahead and start that wide receiver look for this team that needs one so desperately?
I think at 13, it's a little bit rich for a receiver, but they desperately need one. So it makes it a little bit better value. If you love Laquon Treadwell and you're worried about him going to someone like Detroit at 16, if you're worried about him going to, you know, the Jets at 20 or Washington at 21, then I definitely understand moving back 5 picks, getting your wide receiver there. Other areas, you know, you could say this is a good spot for Jack Conklin would be in the middle of the first round, not in the top 10. Same with Taylor Decker. There will be a lot of good value there. Depending on what they're going to do up front, I love Ryan Kelly. Now, I don't know what they're going to do with Irving, if he's going to play center, if he's going to play tackle, if he's going to play guard. But Ryan Kelly, I think, is one of the safest picks in the draft. So depending on how they view the offensive line, he would be a guy that I would take in the, you know, in the 15 to 20 range.
The Cleveland Browns will kick off day two of the NFL draft with pick number 32. Who were some of the guys who probably have a first-round grade but don't for whatever reason, with teams taking need or drafting by position at the bottom of the first round, don't get drafted? It could be very, very attractive to the Cleveland Browns at 32 to meet some needs. and or what are the teams just a few spots behind the Browns that could potentially make a move to get up and have the pick of the litter at 32?
Yeah, I think that'll be interesting to see. You know, if someone tries to come up to 32 to get their guy, some of the names that I think are first-round players that I couldn't find a spot for, Michael Thomas, the receiver from Ohio State,
yep.
Chris Jones, the defensive lineman from Mississippi State, Noah Spence from Eastern Kentucky, those Jerron Reed from Alabama, those were all guys that it's like, this is a first-round player. I just couldn't find a fit for them in my final mock draft. So I wouldn't be surprised if any of those guys were picked for Cleveland. Michael Thomas would be a great fit there if they can't secure a receiver in round one. He's a playmaker. He has sure hands. And it will be interesting to see, does someone try to jump Cleveland on tomorrow night, or does someone try to trade up to 32 to make sure they get their guy? But I like this draft. Players 20 to 40 are all about the same value. So yeah. I think at 32, you have a chance to get a first-round talent.
Do you think it even extends maybe through the second round and somewhere into the third, that's kind of the sweet spot in this draft, is maybe pick, call it 15 through 70 are very similar players?
Yeah, I do. And, you know, this is like a 7 or 8 player draft. After that, it's all kind of, okay, well, who's going to be a good fit for us? So the sweet spot in this draft is right where you said. I think 15 to about 45 is where you can just clean up on value, which is why a team like Tennessee is so dangerous.
Yeah.
Because they have 4 picks in that range. But I know that there's been a lot of talk about the Browns being a team that they'd like to trade back. They'd like to get more picks. I've heard the same thing, but this is also a roster that needs some really good players. So
yeah.
It will be interesting to see if at 8 they're tempted to just like, listen, we need impact players. We need guys who can come in and start this rebuild. Or if they try to, hey, let's take as many bites of the apple as we can get. Let's turn pick number 8 into a couple, you know, later first rounder, but then maybe we get an extra second or we get an extra third. I'm pretty fascinated to see how the front office views things, just because, you know, that's one of the important parts of my job is starting to understand the trends of what a front office likes
sure.
to do. And we have no idea. So it's going to be exciting.
It'll be interesting to see if they're staring at Ezekiel Elliott at number 8, you know, there are going to be trade partners for Ezekiel Elliott. And would a team so analytics driven feel that the value on that particular position warrants a selection with their most valuable commodity, the 8th pick in the draft? I think that's going to
yeah,
be
that's
very interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, because he's worth it. He's worth that pick. It's just a matter of, will they draft a running back that early? Or is it going to be, you know, pass rusher, looking for guys who could be more of an impact on defense? It's going to be a learning process for all of us, I think.
Yeah, it certainly will be. And let's talk about the quarterbacks. Obviously, we've heard smoke in the recent days that the Browns are really the one they liked was Paxton Lynch. Then, no, the guy they really liked was Connor Cook. Sashi Brown just talked with Josina Anderson on ESPN and said, I'm not really that – I don't feel the urge to add a young quarterback. You know, we like what we've got here. What do you make of the kind of the quarterback smoke, and how do you see those guys kind of going in terms of Lynch and Cook? I know you talked earlier about the Saints and Lynch, the Jets I've heard as well. What do you think about that position?
Well, I think there's a huge drop-off from Jared Goff and Carson Wentz
so
down
do
to
I.
Paxton Lynch. So you have to be careful. I wouldn't draft him in the top 10. It kind of reminds me of a few years ago when it was Andrew Luck and RG3 and then Ryan Tannehill, and it was like people were – trying to push up Ryan Tannehill, and then someone panicked, Miami did, and drafted him too early. And I worry about the same thing with Lynch. I mean, he's a guy who should be drafted probably in the 20s and developed, not put into a situation where he has to play right away. And I just personally wouldn't put my name on him at 8. I probably wouldn't do it at 12 if I was the Saints. 20 for the Jets, okay, that's where it starts to make sense. But I always feel like it's a little irresponsible to just look at the Browns and be like, okay, they need quarterbacks. Let's start linking them to these guys, whether it's Lynch or Cook or Hackenberg or whoever it might be. Because like you said, you have RG3, you have Josh McCown. Like, you have two experienced starting quarterbacks there. Go ahead and let them compete and see what happens. I don't know that you should feel the pressure to draft a quarterback in round one just because people think you should. Wait until round 3 and take a Dak Prescott, or round 4 and take Kevin Hogan. Like, there are other quarterbacks in this class that you don't have to spend a top 20 pick on one just to have a young guy. And especially right now, this front office has a little bit of room to do things differently. You know, there's no sure. pressure to get a young quarterback. They're not being fired next year. So I wouldn't go quarterback that early. I would look to the middle round and find a guy that you can develop behind your two veterans.
Talk with Matt Miller from Bleacher Report. You can follow him at NFL Draft Scout on Twitter. And Matt, when are you going to be releasing your final mock? I know the big board's out there, and it's cool. Good layout, the interactive big board, top 400.
Yeah, top 400 came out this morning. My mock draft will come out tomorrow morning, and it will have that same like interactive thing. So you're not, you know, having to search for all the picks. So it'll be really neat the way we're doing things. And then we're doing these live Facebook shows every day. It's like an hour every day.
Cool.
Question and answer, like doing a lot of feedback there. But the big mock draft that everybody's waiting for, that I keep redoing, that'll be out there tomorrow.
Can you give us a sneak peek for the Browns at 8-32?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. 8, I have Miles Jack. 32, I have Chris Jones. So going against the grain,
I see them
building the defense. Defense. Yeah, right. In that division, you got to have some defense.
All right, so if that's the case, who were some of the receivers you would target? Because this team, Matt, I tell you, this team needs receivers. I want 3 of these 12 picks at least to be receivers. So if you took 2 of them away from me already, now 3 of the 10, who are some of those guys in the 3rd, 4th round that you think could come in and compete for a team that right now is set to trot out Brian Hartline and Andrew Hawkins as its top 2 receivers?
Yeah, round 3, I actually think you can still get good value at receiver. I would look at Pharaoh Cooper from South Carolina, Leonti Carew from Rutgers. You can swing the bat on guys like that. Chris Moore from Cincinnati. There's a lot of buzz about that kid right now.
Yeah.
Moving up draft boards. He would be a good fit for them. Hunter Sharp, a player I really like from Utah State. You're probably getting into round 4 there. Caleb Jones from Arizona, if you want more of a deep threat, a vertical guy. Kenny Lawler from Cal. I don't know that you have to draft a receiver in round 1, even though, like, I think I've said that for about 4 years now, that the Browns need a receiver in round 1.
Yes.
I would be patient and just keep adding as much talent as you can to this roster. Just stick to your board, trust your instincts, and don't force anything this year.
Matt, appreciate the time and all the hard work. I know this is the most exhaustive time of the year, and I know you've been doing it for months and months and months, but certainly we all appreciate it, reading it and getting your insights on the Browns and, of course, the draft at large all around the National Football League.
You bet, guys. I appreciate you having me, and good luck to you guys and all the fans.
Thank you very much. Thank you. It will certainly be interesting, to say the least. All right, folks, follow him on Twitter, at NFL Draft Scout. That was Matt Miller from Bleacher Report. His big mock out. Manana. We'll be back with more CBD. We'll open up the phone lines, 216-578-0850. What do you want the Browns to do? What are you feeling right now? What is pulsing through your veins? If it's an offensive lineman, don't call me. Anything else, call. 216-578-0850 CBD.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm with you here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. Don't forget, folks, tomorrow night, me, Matt, Andy Baskin, at 7 o'clock, the Cleveland Browns Draft Night Special on News Channel 5, wall-to-wall coverage of the draft, live reports from Browns headquarters in Berea, the NFL Draft in Chicago, and from the Browns fan party at Public Hall. Watch the Cleveland Browns Draft Night Special at 7 p.m. April 28th, only on News Channel 5, the television home of your Cleveland Browns. Go back to the phones, 216-578-0850. Corey in New York, welcome.
Hey, what's up, guys? Love the show.
Thanks, Corey. How you doing, man?
Good. I agree with you guys. I think the Browns need some playmakers, and I'd be really upset if we go with another lineman in the first round. I would love Ezekiel Elliott at 8 and a receiver at 32. Other than Michael Thomas at 32, what other receivers do you guys think the Browns should target?
So at the 32nd pick, you know, if you get lucky and a Treadwell falls out of the first round like some people think, obviously you jump on there. If Dotson somehow falls out of the first round, you jump on him there. Other guys that I really like at that spot, I'm not as big as on Will Fuller as some. I do like Sterling Shepard a lot.
That high?
I think you can trade back a little bit, but I think he's absolutely fine. He's fine there. I think you can move back from 30 into the early
32. What are his intangibles? How big is he?
He's about 6 foot.
Okay.
He's a guy who just best route runner in the draft. Primarily a slot guy, I would imagine, at this level. But a technician, gets great separation, catches everything, had one of the better performances against Mackenzie Alexander. He's 5'11", 194, 4'4", 40. He's just a very, very, very productive, good, efficient receiver.
Do you believe that a guy like Andrew Hawkins would be a mentor on this roster with a guy like Sterling Shepard, or could potentially be on the outs? Because of the drafting of a guy like Sterling Shepard.
I don't know about on the outs per se. Andrew Hawkins' contract, very favorable for the Browns this year, but I certainly think it would be, you know, if Sterling Shepard comes in, I think he's going to come in, and I think he's going to
get him touches.
I think he's going to start right away.
Right. And he and Andrew Hawkins, in some cases, are the same player.
Yeah.
But you've got a younger, faster, larger receiver in Sterling Shepard.
Yeah, I think that, listen, all these receivers
should
be on
notice. I'm
listening
to you, bro. I got my headphones on.
They should all be on notice. Every single receiver on this roster should be on notice. There is not anybody that has done enough at this point or given where they are in their career that their roster spot should be assumed. That's why I want at least three receivers.
And I don't believe there's any, but are there any contracts or wide receivers under contracts with the Cleveland Browns that are not in favor of the Cleveland Browns?
Well, it depends.
Money-wise.
It depends. It depends on your definition of in the favor of the Browns.
Oh, I just meant like Andrew Hawkins' $1 million base salary in 2016, I would say is in favor of the Cleveland Browns. Now, he might be in question with the drafting of a wide receiver at 32 or a guy like Sterling Shepard if he's at 3.5, you know, or 2.9 million.
I mean, Brian Hartline, $3.75 million this year. That's a lot of money. I mean, he's going to be the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10th highest contract on your team. So he's probably the one that's expensive. Terrell Pryor, $1.6 million. Andrew Hawkins, as we said, down at $1 million. And with a guy like Brian Hartline, by the way, only $750,000 of his $3.75 is guaranteed. So that's a $3 million cap savings if they decide to go that direction. Other than that, no, there is not a lot of money in that position at all. I mean, you're eating $4.6 million of dead money this year just for Dwayne Bowe. You're also eating another $360,000 of dead money in Vince Maley.
I told you I would do this in the break, and I text San Diego Chargers defensive coordinator, yep, John Pagano, good friend of mine, coach of mine when I was there, and I text him and I said, if you guys take a tackle at three, it will be very evident who wears the pants in that organization. And his response was, ha, ha, ha.
That's all he said?
That's all he said.
I think that's telling.
Then I said, you guys better go Buckner, Ramsey, Bosa at three.
Buckner, Ramsey, Bosa. This Ronnie Stanley ascension over Tunsil. The guy hasn't played football. The guy apparently went, and people, I don't know if you remember, but at the Combine, people were in awe of Laremy Tunsil and what he did at the Combine. Look at that man move, this guy.
I remember.
He's phenomenal at the Combine.
Once in a generation.
I remember walking in here, standing on the corner right here, looking into the Jim Brown conference room where there's the 80-inch TV, watching Laremy Tunsil do his footwork drills at the Combine. Jimmy Haslam comes walking by, owner of the Cleveland Browns. He goes, what you watching? And I'm going, I'm watching this guy's feet. He's like, who is it? And he goes, do you really think he's worth a number one pick? And I'm like, if you went two last year with Mariota, you got to protect his blind side for the next decade. So, yes.
Yeah, and now they're out of there. And San Diego, obviously, it's interesting because Kevin Acey made a compelling reason why they wouldn't go. But then again, you're saying, why would we draft a generational talent because we've got King Dunlop and Joe Barksdale? So when you say that out loud, then you're saying, wait a second, I don't have anything. I have King Dunlop and Joe Barksdale. It'll be very interesting to see there. I would say picks 3 and 4. Going to be very, very interesting. All right, let's go to the phone. 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850. And we're going to kick things off right now with our guy, Dre in Cleveland. Dre.
Greetings and salutations, brethren. How y'all doing today?
Good, man.
Thank you.
Good, man. Good, good. Just on my way to work, man. Just listening to you guys. I was just wondering, what do you guys think about that cornerback? I believe his name is McKenzie. I think you mentioned it just a second ago. From Clemson, I love Sterling Shepard, just a comment. And do you think that we should draft for our division first? We got some of the best quarterbacks in the NFL right here in our division, and we never seem to get to them. So I'm thinking defense. But if Ezekiel Elliott is at number 8, if we stay pat at number 8, we have to get him for a number of reasons. First of all, I'm partial to linebackers. I'm a 1994 graduate of Cleveland Central Catholic. I love running backs. I'm always looking at that position. I'm always looking at the feet, like Matt said, of a running back. But Ezekiel Elliott is not just a running back. He's a blocking back. He's a catching back. So he fills several different roles other than just toting a rock. So But I think that we got to get him. If he's there, you have to get him. But does analytics say that we draft for the division and the quarterbacks that tear us up each year? I'll hang up and listen. You guys have a great day.
I think it is critical that the Browns try to accomplish two things. Get guys on this team that help them directly score points, that can score the football, and guys that can stop opposing quarterbacks. Get to the quarterback, shut down receivers, etc. Get to the quarterback being the premium importance there. And you asked about Mackenzie Alexander. I like him. All the guy did at Clemson was be in one-on-one, play press man on an island, didn't give up a touchdown in his last 24 games dating back to September of his freshman year. Very fluid, very, very good. Now, he didn't have any interceptions, and people say, well, he didn't make any plays. He did not give up a single touchdown. The guy only had to make 20 tackles a year. If you think about that, that means he's not giving up a lot of catches. He is actually the number one corner on Dane Brugler's board. He is not considered, at least right now, to even go in the first round. So he's a guy that I actually like a lot. I love his tape. I got to watch him a bunch and looking at some of the receivers, the Sterling Shepard, Mackenzie Alexander matchup, especially a good one to look at. Let's go to Jeff in Hudson now. Jeff.
How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I was thinking with the scenario that's been discussed about trade down from 8, let's say we go to 15 with Tennessee, for instance. If you can acquire one of those Rams second rounders, I'm not sure if they part with that, if you have to throw in a fourth and a fifth. But you have that as ammunition. You target a receiver there, and then you maybe look to move up from 32 to maybe a team like Washington, who is low on depth after the RG3 trade and sees a lot of D-line, you know, depth in the draft. They maybe move down, get to pick up our third. So you're sitting somewhere between 15 and 20, then you've also got 21. You could go back-to-back with, like, a Treadwell and a Coleman there, and then you've still got your 2, 3, 4.
Yeah, that would be – I wouldn't mind that. I wouldn't hate that.
Coleman? I like Coleman.
Say it. Go ahead. Tell me what you say. You got hot take coming. Get the fire extinguisher.
You got to stay tuned.
Matt Wilhelm throwing flames.
I am throwing flames.
You want to go to a break like the kid? And is that a tease?
Do we have a mock coming up after this?
We'll take more calls.
We'll take more calls.
Throw your tees out there.
I'll throw my tees out there. Stay tuned as we go pick 17 through 24. I shake things up for your Cleveland Browns.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here. Dog Pound, the second annual Cleveland Browns Fan Fest is coming to First Energy Stadium Saturday, May 14th. Join the Cleveland Browns 2016 rookie class, alumni, coaches, members of the front office, and other special guests, including us. Tickets are on sale now. Visit ClevelandBrowns.com or the mobile app for more information. All right, Matt Wilhelm, you have a flaming hot take.
I do. A day before the draft. On Corey Coleman.
Yep.
Just listening to people talk about Corey Coleman, I went back and did my research on his size, on what he ran and jumped and how explosive of an athlete he was at the combine. Watched a little bit of Baylor tape, and Corey Coleman to me is a guy that in that 5 years collectively is going to be as productive as Odell Beckham Jr. Very similar size, same height. I think Corey Coleman might be giving up 5 pounds to Odell Beckham Jr. And I just believe that what makes Odell Beckham Jr. so special, Corey Coleman has. And I want that in a Browns uniform. That's not saying that Laquon Treadwell can't be that guy, because they're a different kind of guy. That doesn't mean that Josh Doctson can't be that kind of guy, because but Treadwell and Doctson are more alike than I think Coleman and Fuller are more alike. The explosive, high-jumping speedsters. I want that in my offense. I want the one-handed grabs. I want the explosive. I want that in Hugh Jackson's tool belt is something that I want.
Some big plays. All right, so I like it. You're fired up about Corey Coleman. We'll see if that impacts things
just
for
put
you
put the ball
later
in his hands
today
and try to catch 4-3.
Yeah. We'll
Bengals, see. Ravens, Steelers, defenders.
Bill Sutton Jr. said you just stole his hot take. Matt Wilhelm's take.
Hey. Throw some more fuel on it.
Let's go. Let's go to the Cleveland Elf now. Cleveland Elf, how tall are you?
No, I'm about 6 foot. I might be able to play the slot in Cleveland, judging by some of the production we've had, guys. Don't hate.
What's up, man?
Hey, not much. How are you guys doing this afternoon?
Good. How are you,
man?
Great, great. Hey, one name in the first round, I know it's not popular, but, you know, we need to have that edge rusher. I really think if we trade back, even at 15-13, Shaq Lawson, if he gets past the Giants, I think he's going to be a real productive guy coming into this league. I'd really like to see him there. At 32, you know, there's a lot of receivers. I think one of these main guys is going to fall and we can get a number one receiver there. And then in the later rounds, there's guys like the Crew kid from Rutgers, Allison from Illinois. I really like the kid from UMass, Sharp. You guys watched him, his production the last couple of years. You can get him third, fourth round. I think he's going to raise some eyebrows as a rookie. I don't know if you guys have seen tape on him.
Sure, of course.
Or Higgins from Colorado State. There's so many guys in the middle of the pack there. You don't, you know, just throw them against the wall and see what sticks. I mean, we need receivers, honestly.
I agree.
We've been lacking that so long.
I want at least three of them in this draft.
And to coincide with your point there, Nathan, do you feel how we approached our first looks following the 2015 season as got to go get the franchise quarterback? Some, you know, even talking to former general manager Ray Farmer, how many picks would you give up, first round picks would you give up to go get Andrew Luck to get that guy, right? And we started having conversations about taking the same thing you said. Take three quarterbacks. Let them all fight it out, duke it up. One of them, hopefully one of them becomes your franchise quarterback, because the perception is, by some, by you and I, that RG3 is that swing at the plate this year.
Yep.
With Hugh Jackson, that you can now shift to truly execute Hugh Jackson's offense on what we saw it capable of doing in Cincinnati, that those multiple swings at the plate and producers are now not at quarterback, because that is RG3 as of this year. That is at the wide receiver position, the tight end position, you know, to give him weapons to throw to.
Correct. Let's go back to when Blake Bortles was drafted. Second round pick Marquise Lee, second round pick Allen Robinson, undrafted free agent Allen Hurts. The following year they added Rashard Greene. They kept adding wide receivers and weapons. They need to do that. They need to give this quarterback a chance to play with what I would call legitimate NFL level weapons.
And to just to make another point before we get back to the phones, as you look at our division, because I know that as I've listened to other shows on the radio, they talk about what to play in our division. You know, it all starts with defense, right? And that's why some people want to see our assets go towards the defense in the first round or throughout, you know, this year's draft. Do you believe that to be true to compete in our division? Or do you, in some cases, need to be able to stay on the field offensively and put points on the scoreboard against those defenses?
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Both.
Okay.
You need to be able to score points. I need to be able to get after these quarterbacks. You got to get after Ben Roethlisberger if you want to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers, but you got to be able to score to keep up with them, because no matter how well you play, they're going to put points up on you. That's one of the most dangerous offenses in the entire National Football League. All right, we're going to go back to the phones, 216-578-0850. Ryan in Canada. Ryan, are you as optimistic as our friend Cam from Canada?
Yes, sir. I love everything Ohio.
There we go.
There we go.
Yeah, I'm a big Buckeye fan up here, and Browns, Indians, Cavs, you name it, we love them.
Good.
Yeah, my big take was actually the trade thing. I haven't heard many people talk about this team to trade with, but I kind of had a thought seeing is that they're looking to trade for an offensive tackle. If we could trade with the Indianapolis Colts, and but I'm saying pick them from 18 up to 8 and give them Joe Thomas, and then we take their 18, their second round at 48, and their third round at 82, plus their first round pick for next year. So that would give us three first rounders for next year's draft, plus then we'd have 18, 32, and 48, which then I would be looking to take someone like Darren Lee or Treadwell at 18, take a Michael Thomas at 32, and then at 48, whatever the best QB that's available, or maybe another defensive, you know, like safety or something like that at that point. But I definitely would like to see at least one, if not two, wide receivers in the first round.
Yeah, I'd like to see a wide receiver early as well. You never know what the trade back market will be, what the valuations are, so you got to do what you can there. Let's go to David in the fine, fine city of Las Vegas.
Fellas, how you doing today?
Good. How are you, brother?
Good, good. It's like Christmas Eve, day before the draft.
I know, it is.
All right. So my ideal situation would be a trade back from 8 to 13 with Dolphins for Elliott, then trade back from there to Jets at 20. I personally think, I don't know the valuations and what they're going to trade for, but I'm thinking a couple second-round picks for each one of them, right?
I would love to get that.
Right. So I'm thinking at 20, one of the top three receivers, Treadwell, Doxson, or Coleman. Got to get some playmakers, of course. At 32, they can roll forward just to stretch the D. Plus some of the mocks I'm seeing he's falling out of the first round.
I think part of that's because I do think some people believe he is a one-trick pony and that he's just – that's all he's got. That's all he can do. So I think that's one of the reasons you're seeing him slip just a little bit.
You know, if it's one trick, but if he's really good at that trick, you know,
yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Like, if you stretch the D and you're hitting Treadwell, Barnage, the other guys underneath, Duke Johnson, I think it definitely helps either way. And then you can develop him as well with Al Saunders coaching him up. So I'm thinking trade back, if not Will Fuller, or some kind of D-stretching wide receiver at 32. And just throwing it out there because we're gonna, supposedly in these trade back scenarios, right, we're picking up second-round picks. I love Noah Spence. I know he's fallen out a couple of mock drafts as well. Just because there's not that many edge rushers, and I do think he's talented, but just obviously the off-the-field issues are causing people to hesitate. But I think he'd be a nice fit on the edge. And then in the third, I wanted to take a couple of risks, like your guy Carew a lot. Definitely like Jalen Smith, even though I know it's a big risk. But with all those picks, it's kind of one of those things that it could end up being maybe a first-round pick, equate to a first-round pick next year. You see what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
And then also I like Hack. I know you guys don't. I know you've gone on record many times saying that. But freshman year, played in the Bill O'Brien offense, the pro-style offense. The kid killed it. I mean, he was all-world. So I'm just saying, you put him with pro coaching again, you never know. So that's my take.
Thank you very much for the call. We certainly appreciate that. And, you know, it's going to be interesting. I just can't wait.
How many quarterbacks go in the first round?
Two at most, three at most, four.
Okay. Who's the fourth? Cook?
Cook if Denver takes one.
Okay.
If Hackenberg goes in the first round, I mean, it would absolutely blow my mind, even though there's some scuttlebutt about that right now.
He stinks.
When we come back, mock draft picks 17 through 24, which for me includes the Cleveland Browns at the clock at number 20. Matt Wilhelm maybe has a wrinkle in there as well. All right, we'll be back with more CBD right after this.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm. By the way, the Fog 1982 says, no one's talking about Farrell Cooper. He's on my list as well. I like Leonte Carew better, but Farrell Cooper right there for me. Torch the SEC, great third-round guy, he says. Yes, I'm in with you. I'm there with you. Let's go. All right, time now to continue the mock draft. Picks 17 through 24. The Atlanta Falcons are on the clock, Matt Wilhelm. Why did they pick that jingle, by the way, of all the things?
I don't know.
You don't like
it?
You love it?
I do, man.
I think it sounds like, I mean, to me, when I hear it, I think something cool is going to follow that jingle.
Interesting. I just think it should be like a little bit harder. Like, the pick is in, the pick is in, the pick is in, the pick is in.
That's very Lemmy-ish.
It goes back to the wrestling music.
Yeah, I know, right?
I wasn't wrestling.
Made in a garage.
That was like stat of the day from the DP show, which is a fine
17th
show.
Pick, the Atlanta Falcons select inside linebacker Miles Jack, UCLA, comes off my board. 17.
Wow.
Be a great fit for that scheme, too.
I am going at pick number 17, also with the linebacker Darren Lee from The Ohio State University, as Atlanta certainly needs to get somebody in there, and they go with Darren Lee. Pick number 18 now, the Indianapolis Colts on the clock. The Indianapolis Colts, a team that in their heyday on defense could get to the quarterback with Robert Mathis and Dwight Freeney. They need someone to do that, so they go for the best edge rusher. Sure, he's got some issues, but he is the best talent at that position. Noah Spence, linebacker, Eastern Kentucky.
I have a linebacker being taken by the Indianapolis Colts at 18, and is the guy that you had going to the Atlanta Falcons. Darren Lee, Ohio State, shores up a bad defense and gives them diversity. Can rush the passer off the edge, a little undersized, but it's going to be a great weak inside linebacker.
All right, pick number 19, the Buffalo Bills on the clock.
At pick pick number 19, the Buffalo Bills select quarterback Paxton Lynch, Memphis.
Wow, Paxton Lynch off my board. Of course, the trade from the Jets and the Browns moving up to 13, the Buffalo Bills. Rex Ryan wants talent. He doesn't care about attitude. He believes he can get the best out of the talent and curb that attitude. And you know who he's taken? Robert Kemdiche, defensive lineman, Ole Miss. He's the guy to do it. He's the guy to pull that trigger.
I think 20 is so high.
And he does that.
Darnell Dockett. I just don't know if I'm the guy that wants to hitch my wagon to
him. He's like a top five talent.
He is. He's
so
a beast.
So 20 is a
good
deal.
I don't like the fact that he takes plays off and he does stupid stuff and falls out of windows.
As I said on the draft preview show, this is the one thing. Gibbs, correct me if I'm wrong. You're a man of the people.
I love Willow's comment. I hate people that fall out of windows.
You know what I like out of a football player? A guy that falls four stories and gets up.
And says, let's go.
Yes.
Why not?
Right? I mean, why is everybody's focusing on the fact that he fell out of the window? How about the fact that a guy who's going to be in collisions for a living fell out of a fourth-story window off of a balcony.
And looked up at the window and said, that all you got?
Is that all you got? Do I need to go eight stories?
I kind of like that.
Thank you, Gibbs.
You know, you fall faster from a fourth story when your pockets are laced with money. So the impact could be significantly larger. Too high for me.
I think that term allegedly comes into play when saying.
Allegedly. All right. It is time now. In my mock, you know who's on the clock?
Who?
The Cleveland Browns with the 20th pick. The Cleveland Browns select wide receiver Josh Dotson, TCU. Folks, there's no bigger need for the Browns than the one at wide receiver. Dotson, the top receiver on many boards. Mel Kiper has him as the 11th overall player in this draft. No one is better suited to come in and play. He can win vertically. He is very, very good at high-pointing the ball, making contested catches, also gets separation. Turned out to be the most explosive overall athlete amongst the wide receivers at the combine. They trade back twice. They get their top receiver on their board. They pick up a couple seconds in 2016 and 17. Everybody's happy, and I start moonwalking. Get the Oju ready, baby. Josh Doxson is a Cleveland Brown.
20th pick. The New York Jets still sit at this position, and they take what I believe is the best true outside linebacker in this draft. And as you said, with some off-the-field troubles, former Buckeye Noah Spence.
Okay, so Noah Spence in the top 20 for both of us. Pick number 21 now. The Washington Redskins are on the clock.
Washington Redskins, this is a pick that stayed true since mock draft 1.0. Sheldon Rankins, defensive tackle, Louisville.
Interesting. He's a guy that seems to be on the rise. I had him going 16 to Detroit. Jason Lock and Four saying today he believes that Sheldon Rankins is going in the top 10.
Wow.
By the way, Pro Football Talk just reporting right now, maybe this has something to do with the Ronnie Stanley ascension. Laremy Tunsil, hours before he'll become a top 10 pick in the NFL draft, Laremy Tunsil is being sued by his stepfather. According to the Jackson Clarion Ledger, Tunsil faces a lawsuit from Lindsey Miller, claiming the Ole Miss left tackle attacked him last June and defamed his character, claiming an intentional infliction of emotional distress.
Come on.
Can you beat me? Can I say the A word?
No, you may not.
What an a-hole his stepfather is.
What a B-I.
Intentional infliction of emotional distress.
What a pansy. This is what it is. The guy's on the eve of making more money than probably he or anyone in his family has ever accumulated in their entirety. Stepfather, who probably doesn't truly have a role. And Laremy was probably protecting his mother in some way. And this guy cowered down and he has emotional distress. Come on.
Unbelievable. So that's what he's dealing with.
Whatever.
Maybe Laremy did something wrong. I don't know. But the timing of it seems very, very odd.
Very.
Very odd. For an incident that happened last June, very, very odd. All right. So where are we? Pick number 21, the Washington Redskins. I'm changing mine. I had a defensive lineman, Jaron Reed from Alabama in there.
Texans?
For the Washington Redskins. I'm sorry. Pick 21. Oh, okay. I haven't done mine. I'm changing it to Ryan Kelly, the center out of Alabama, rising up the boards, and I'm told he's a surefire first rounder. So he goes number 21 now to the Washington Redskins.
All right.
Pick number 22 now as we figure this out, round it up. The Houston Texans on the board. I don't get it. I think Corey Coleman is better. I certainly think Laquon Treadwell is better. But a lot of smoke that the Houston Texans will take wide receiver Will Fuller, Notre Dame, to provide that vertical threat opposite DeAndre Hopkins.
Okay. I have a trade, folks.
Wait a second.
We have
ESPN
a trade.
ESPN Cleveland. Breaking news.
Oh, that's Skip. Big bucks for you.
Your Cleveland
if you're
Browns.
Listening, by the way, this is a phony breaking news. I can totally see people losing their minds.
Okay. Your Cleveland Browns are trading the 32nd pick, the 99th pick, and a 2017 sixth round pick to the Houston Texans in exchange for the 22nd pick in the NFL draft. And with that pick, they select my hot take, Corey Coleman, wide receiver, Baylor.
Wow. Wow.
Yes.
Wow. And by the way, Daniel Jeremiah just released his most recent mock draft. Corey Coleman goes 24th to the Bengals. Interestingly enough, Josh Doctson not in the first round for him any longer. I mean, that would be great if one of those receivers could make it. If Dotson or Treadwell could make it to 32, that would
be and I know we'll get – since the Cleveland Browns don't select at 32 for me anymore, now that they've selected at 22.
Would you have buyer's remorse if that ended out being the case?
Not necessarily. I'm going to go get my guy. The reason why you make this trade is because you're going to go get your game-changing guy. And I think that for me, watching this, it's Corey Coleman. So, but that being said, I have the Houston Texans moving back to 32 and taking Laquon Treadwell.
Okay. Okay.
As an opposite, they've got the DeAndre Hopkins on one side, the explosive both down the field. They get their big possession guy in Laquon Treadwell.
All right. I like that. So pick number 23 now, Minnesota Vikings on the clock.
The Minnesota Vikings, for me, take the guy that Daniel Jeremiah doesn't have going in the first round, wide receiver Josh Doctson, TCU.
And for me, they take wide receiver Laquon Treadwell with both Fuller and, of course, Dotson off the board. Cincinnati wraps up this segment of our draft. Pick number 24, they take wide receiver Corey Coleman.
And I have them going wide receiver as well, most likely to end a run. Will Fuller, wide receiver, Notre Dame.
So there's everybody in the world has these guys going receiver, receiver, receiver. It's not going to happen.
No, it won't. And it's not going to be the Minnesota Vikings. That's my call.
They will take. They will or will not?
Will not.
Interesting. I think that they're more likely. I think that Houston might surprise people. Cincinnati could. And I do think if Laquon Treadwell is there for the Kansas City Chiefs, he does not get past them. He is the perfect West Coast complement to Jeremy Maclin, and I don't think he would get past that team. But we will see what happens there. So that does it for our mock there. Hour number two of CBD coming up. We are going to hear some from Sashi Brown, the executive vice president of football operations for your Cleveland Browns. We also will be taking your phone calls 216-578-0850 on CBD.